All right. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. It's 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number. Sandy Williams is in the studio. I'm glad he's here. Sandy, you want to respond to Tom?
Well, Tom's right. I mean, the Supreme Court, in the decisions that we've been talking about here, Roe v. Wade and the EPA-related decision on greenhouse gases, indicated that the Supreme Court was willing to reach decisions that were far broader in their impact than was required to decide the case before them. The normal doctrine the Supreme Court has operated under is we will reach the narrowest decision we can that resolves the case so that we don't rock the boat with respect to precedent out there in the general legal world. And this Supreme Court has decided to turn that concept on its head. And they're basically saying, I think with their decisions, that we're going to go and we're going to reach decisions as broadly as we wish in order to achieve the kind of ideological outcomes that we're intent on pursuing. So this notion that they are a court which is not legislative in their action, that they aren't, is just hooey because they clearly have outcomes they want to achieve and they're exercising their muscle to do so.
You know, Sandy, there's been over the last, maybe 6-7 years, the turnover on the Supreme Court, the stability from the wisdom of the older court and justices that were there. We're missing that, right?
Well, I mean, there was a change. You know, the New Deal court under, you know, with Felix Frankfurter and Earl Warren and the people that came in the middle of the last century did change the court, because the court before them had a very conservative bent, and it developed a much more liberal bent, some would say. But the bent of the court was really aimed at accomplishing the objectives that were provided under congressional mandates. And so the laws that were passed during the New Deal and the laws that were reflected, for instance, in the Clean Water Act and the Clean Air Act in the 1970s, were laws that announced broad objectives, things that needed to be accomplished by government, the proper regulation of foods and drugs. And they would state the premise in the nature of, that foods must be safe, they would describe the outcome that they were looking for without describing all the details. And so agencies were left with a good deal of latitude to figure out with their expertise how to implement it. And then the Federalist Society, beginning in 1970, decided that all that latitude by the agencies felt like a deep state. They called it the administrative state. And so the society became very intent on curtailing the power of agencies, these non-elected people, to implement things like OSHA, the things that got in the way
of business. Yeah, but Sandy, when you say this,
OSHA and the FDA and the EPA. And
but
the,
Sandy, when you say the society, it's not the average citizen.
No, I'm talking about the Federalist Society.
Yeah, right. I know who the Federalist Society is, right.
A conservative group of basically young lawyers who became older lawyers.
Right.
And they were very intent on pursuing this outcome.
Took over control of our government.
And they are the ones who have basically regulated who has become a Supreme Court justice under a conservative sitting president. And so the Supreme Court we have today, in many respects, is the result of the activity of the Federalist Society. And most of the conservatives who are on the court right now were members of the Federalist Society earlier in their days, and even maybe now.
You know what that kind of sounds like to the average American citizen?
Conspiracy?
Well, no question.
Yeah.
And the fact that the government basically is now kind of out of our reach. What happens with the government and what happens to the American people has been compromised.
Well, I mean, the principle that the Federalist Society talks about when they talk about taking the power away from these unelected agency people is to put it in the hands of elected officials. But that presumes that the people really have much to do with the elected officials and the policies that are adopted by elected officials. And that's the unfortunate breakdown in our democracy. That isn't what's happening ever since, particularly Citizens United, but before that time as well. It's K Street and lobbyists who have everything to do with at least complicated legislation. You know, simple legislation, things that people can understand, first of all, there isn't much of that happening.
Right.
And there isn't much legislation happening at all because of the filibuster law and the power of the minority in the Senate to block anything to from happening whatsoever. So handing power back to elected representatives is to basically hand power to a vacuum.
But Sandy, it isn't coincidental that at the same time, all of those things you're talking about with the Federalists and all of that, that the middle class and that the average citizen in this country is starting to see his or her futures compromised. And so the question becomes, how do you possibly turn that back?
Well, I mean, I think the problem is that that when you make change difficult, you favor the status quo. And the status quo is what's beginning to fail in America. The status quo, you know, in 1965 included a very big middle class, and the status quo was a pretty happy circumstance for a substantial number of people. People had health care through the work. All these problems we face today were not faced by Tom, Dick, and Mary when we were kids, you and I. And so now the status quo is a problem. And changing the status quo is going to be the responsibility of Congress. And everything that's happening right now is putting the power that stands behind Congress in the hands of the people with money, the people who are most interested in maintaining the status quo. Status quo defends the way things are today, and it also defends the people who have money today. And so here we have a shrinking middle class. We've got all kinds of problems faced by the people who would normally be in the middle class, and yet we have a system that's rapidly degenerating through these acts of Congress and the acts of the state legislature with respect to the election laws that Tom was talking about. And all of it is designed to protect the status quo.
So, Sandy, at the root of all of it is the fact that, you know, historically, people aren't going to sit back and take it forever. And at some point in time, even in this nation, people, you know, who thirst for water and bread,
yeah,
aren't going to sit back and say, oh, well, that's the way things are.
Well, I would assert that if particularly the business people in this country were wise, they would realize that the problem that America faces when we try to compete with China is that China is not vested in the status quo. China is vested in the future. China is worried about artificial intelligence and developing it. China is worried about doing those things that will employ the next billion people. They've got 300 million people well employed in China, but they got a billion more to go, right? They've got more growth potential, and it's all about the future, not the status quo. In the United States, our political process is mired in the status quo. When we worry about jobs, we're worrying about coal miner jobs. We're not worrying about the jobs of people working in the artificial intelligence industry. That, you know, we can have people gesture and point an arm wave and say China's cheating in the way they deal with a trade, that they're subsidized. Nah, I don't think so. I think what China's really doing is that, you know, regardless of what we think about how they're dealing with the people in their country exactly, China's doing a very good job of being vested in the future, and the United States is doing a very poor job of that and is mired in the past and in the status quo. And it's that we need to worry about. And these decisions of the Supreme Court and the whole direction of society right now in the United States is aimed at sustaining the status quo, which is going to be a real problem for the United States in its competition with China.
You know, Sandy, as we approach the midterms and in the twinkling of an eye to 2024 election, things aren't going to get better overnight. And people are going to become more and more frustrated, even with elections, because they're seeing, hey, even through the election process, there are people trying to ace you out of it. And so what are the American people supposed to do and supposed to think as they watch their lives turned inside out and upside down? And you know that there's some things going on behind the scenes that aren't right. When will America reconcile itself with that?
Well, I think that there are those, and there are conservative pundits. There are just people, sociological people who watch and talk about what's going on in this country. Not people with vested interests, not people who are carrying flames and talking terms of revolution. But many people are now saying that if this election of 2024 could be a real turning point in terms of that kind of potential blow up societally, particularly if someone like Donald Trump gets reelected, and we start seeing that the control of the United States taken by these people who want to tinker with the elective process and want to not only sustain the status quo, but to turn the clock back.
You know, Sandy, this is pretty involved stuff you're talking about. I mean, you know, people are just trying to live their lives, right? And then you witness this and you see this, and most Americans can't see it. As you always say, it's complicated. But they know something's not right. I don't care if they're Democrats or Republicans. Yeah. If they live long enough, they know something's not right in this country. Got to go to a break. 844-967-2789 is the number. Sandy Williams is my guest. We'll be right back.
Boy, it is much.